Welcome to the Wrestling Brethren Podcast. This is episode 407. We will be talking about Monday Night Raw and NXT TV from the wrestling news. With me tonight are Seth Zillman and Jarrett Aubrey. And fellas, we are out of WrestleMania weekend. On the other side, how the hell are you?
Well, this is around the time I would crack open my soda, but I think I drank all my soda watching WrestleMania and Raw here, so I think I'm just going back to the good old-fashioned water, but everything's great.
Well, what a weekend and a Monday from the pinnacle of WrestleMania to the potential that the start of Raw showed to the poop it became. But somewhat wrestling-related, as this guy is a gigantic fan of wrestling, but I picked up Gabriel Iglesias tickets today, so I'm a happy guy no matter what happened in wrestling, so all good.
Bonus. Have you ever seen him before live?
Not live, just on Netflix, and he's coming to Winnipeg with WWE, ain't?
Sir, you are in for a treat. I've seen him probably live more than any other comedian. He's a fantastic show.
I love watching his Netflix stuff, and I cannot wait to see him live. We are just to the right of the stage in the front row, so it should be fantastic. I'm absolutely stoked.
Excellent. All right, well, moving on to the wrestling news. First item. It was reported shortly after the conclusion of WrestleMania and kind of early on Monday morning that the reports are that in the new Triple H era, Papa H is giving us more of what we want, and WWE is moving away from sports entertainment and returning to pro wrestling. So they are, it's not really an official edict or anything like that, but pro wrestling is no longer considered a dirty word.
Yeah, I think it was one of the things we noticed shortly after Vince left the first time was they started saying wrestling more.
Yeah, you heard Hunter say it in his interviews. I think The Rock even did it on TV. It was like, you know, sports and entertainment, pro wrestling. You know, It's coming out again. So that's fantastic. I'm really liking the start of this new era.
And Cody in his promos keeps saying sports entertainment, but I think he's just so used to doing it. It's going to take him a while to get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So I found something that was, it was summarized on Twitter, and it can't be put any better than this. So I'm just going to read it. It is an explanation on Seth Rollins's part in the main event of WrestleMania, because a lot of people saw him taken out by Roman Reigns with a Superman punch. And then they were like, oh geez, thanks for coming, Seth. What the hell was that about? Well, here's the summary. The ending to Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns started in January 2022 at the Royal Rumble. Seth Rollins won via DQ when Reigns showed his true Achilles heel. He wasn't over Seth's betrayal of the Shield. Rollins entered to the Shield music through the crowd to remind him of what he did. Roman grew more and more frustrated throughout the match, and ended up brutalizing him with the same weapon Rollins used on that day in 2014, a chair. Fast forward to the main event of WrestleMania 40, Rollins interfered as Cody Rhodes' Shield, which in and of itself was a shot at Roman's weakness. But the Shield music, entrance, lack of offense, and the chair, it was a setup. He wasn't supposed to attack anyone. He brought the chair with him, knowing that if Roman saw the opportunity, if he showed his back to him, Reigns would get distracted from Cody and finally get revenge for what Seth did. Ultimately, it was Seth Rollins' sacrifice that opened the door for Cody to win. In that defining moment, Cody defeated Reigns physically, but Rollins defeated him mentally, just like in 2014, with a single chair to the back. Seth Rollins took everything from Roman Reigns.
Yeah, when I saw what happened there, I thought maybe did Seth get hurt or something? So they just did that so he didn't have to do anything.
Seth took one for the team, and it was a wonderful mm-hmm. callback to that. Geez, I just mean, you said 2014. I'm like, that was 10 years ago. It's like, yeah.
Yeah. And that means Blutista was 10 years ago.
Jeez. That was just one of those really nice touches, you know, the cherry on top that they put in that match, especially with all the people coming back that Roman had been through in his reign. Yeah, I just loved it. Nice little detail.
And you knew that Roman was making the choice in his head. You could see he was torn, and he decided mm-hmm. to take the revenge. And, which wasn't even in that description, Seth fell the same way Roman fell and landed on the rope the same way Roman landed on the rope. So that was probably one of the better callbacks you're ever going to see.
Yeah, I totally missed that. I thought it was just Seth just got punked out, but, you know, like you said, kind of took one for the team so that Cody could win.
Yeah, he said in his promo to Cody, he said, "No one is better equipped to be your shield than me." Ah, long-term storytelling, 10 years in the making. All right, well, and we got to the Raw after Mania, which is usually a thing, an event. And then Vince got his paws on it for several years, and then it became shit. And last year, we thought he was gone, but he came back. He ripped up the script. And a lot of people said the show that was written before he ripped it up was a lot better than the one we got on TV, because of course it was.
Mm-hmm.
But this was the first Raw after Mania in the new Triple H era. And the first hour was going to be commercial free. And why? Well, we had an in-ring segment with Sir Paul Levesque, the new champion Cody Rhodes, who was then interrupted by The Rock. So, of course, we needed an hour commercial free.
Yeah. That may have been the longest talking segment they've ever had.
And, of course, it involved Triple H, but
mm-hmm.
in a different way. Basically, Triple H was thanking everybody after the crowd was thanking him, basically. And he introduced Cody as the new face of the new era. And Cody comes out. And Triple H says he's got a video package for him that somebody, I didn't even follow the story of who put it together, but Triple H then made fun of WWE and themselves because they had such a big crowd, they had to go to the minimalist set. And because of that, they didn't have a big Tron to put the video package on. So, mm-hmm. so they wheeled down a television, which is reminiscent.
It was like a day at church.
When the substitute teacher has to put on a movie for the class.
Yeah.
And so
only for people our age, it was like the reel to reel projector stuff, but
you know, right. Very well put together video. Of course it brings Cody to tears. And as Jarrett said, does anybody cry more than Cody Rhodes? And the only answer I had for him was perhaps Big Show when he was under Stephanie McMahon's thumb, perhaps, but
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm not sure. Then Cody's interrupted by the final boss, The Rock. He's still coming out with his People's Champion title belt. And they proceed to have probably one of the most awkward segments or interactions that I've ever seen. Because Rock is, well, first of all, he had to punk out the crowd. Then he had to recapture them in the palm of his hand. And then he's giving Cody backhanded compliments. And then he says, before The Rock has to go away and ride off into the sunset, he asks Cody if he can hold his belt.
Mm-hmm.
And Cody says, well, you can hold mine if I can hold yours. And I'm like, dirty. And, So here's something that I didn't know because it happened 11 years ago and I don't have that great of a memory from that far back, but supposedly that was a callback or at least made, it wasn't as out of nowhere as you may have thought, because when The Rock introduced the new WWE title, when it was the Scratch logo, he was interrupted by the then dashing Cody Rhodes, who said he just wanted to take a look at the title that for the next 13 years will be synonymous not with The Rock, but with Cody Rhodes. Mm-hmm. And I was like, can you imagine if he would have said in 13 years instead of for the next 13 years, he would have been Nostradamus.
No kidding.
So then they exchange and then they exchange back. Mm-hmm. And Rock says, one more thing before I go, I have something for you. And he goes into his pocket, he pulls out something in his hand, he asks for Cody to extend his hand, he supposedly puts something in his hand, and he says, you don't even have to open your hand to know what that is. And he says a weird line, he says, don't you ever break The Rock's heart again if you smell what the final boss is cooking. And Cody takes it and he puts it in his own pants pocket. And I'm like, did he give him the keys to his bus that he committed arson to? So that was bizarre.
No, it was the key to finding the remnant, the whereabouts of Luke Skywalker is what he gave him. But
well, for as tense as that segment was, people were saying, oh, it's obviously the key to his hotel room.
I didn't understand the don't break my heart again thing, but I did like they took way too long to get to the final line, or not quite the final line, but just before Rock signed off, he's like, when I come back, I'm coming for you. I'm coming for that title kind of thing, right? So that was kind of neat, setting up, you know, seeds in the future kind of thing. But they could have done that in 10 minutes instead of 30.
Yeah. The way I looked at it, as far as that exchange, I mean, I didn't know they did something similar 13 years ago, but it's like, I just took it as both sides being what we might call in the geek realm, like for those who play D&D, you know, the lawful kind of alignment, where even if you're bad, there's the type of thing that's like lawful neutral or lawful evil, where even if you're the bad guy, you still will probably acknowledge when things didn't go your way. And Cody being the hero is probably the lawful good. So they were just kind of acknowledging each other there. And The Rock was acknowledging, okay, yeah, you won. So, you know, he's showing some respect there. And then he's saying, but yeah, I'm coming back at some point. That's just how I, you know, me as a gaming geek took it.
He did say, you know, no fireworks. I'm here to give you your flowers. Right? So I'm here to show you some respect.
Yeah. The only thing I can think of for the don't break my heart is when he quote unquote gave him the main event and then took it away from him in story, even though they pivoted in real life. But even that is kind of lame. So I don't know. It was all really weird.
Rock was extra creepy in that segment. It's like, yeah, that's pretty weird.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, not WrestleMania, so let's not harp on that too much. Next, we got our first surprise of the night as Shinsuke Nakamura came out, and his opponent would be the Mad Dragon, Ilya Dragunov, the NXT champion. And was this a call-up? Who knows?
Yeah, and I can't help but wonder, you know, Nakamura losing to the NXT champion. He wasn't seen at all on Mania. Was he even in the Andre Battle Royal? Maybe he was, but he was not seen at all. So I can't help but wonder what his future will be since Okada's in AEW now. I mean, could we see Nakamura in AEW in the next year or two? I don't know. I'm not saying I'm hoping for it. I'm just wondering, because I'm probably the biggest Nakamura fan of the three of us, and for him basically not to be at Mania was a little disheartening.
I saw something that was kind of clickbaity about the real reason for Shinsuke's D push. And I was like, man, I'm not going to click that. So I don't know what excuse was given, but we'll have to see how that plays out. But I thought this was going to be a good match because I was like, oh shit, hard hitting people. Then they announced the WWE draft, which I mentioned over the weekend, for April 26th SmackDown and April 29th Raw. And I would imagine, even though he's been in charge, I would imagine this is the unofficial official way for Triple H to get the roster set the way he wants them, at least for the next 365 days.
Does make me wonder how closely they will adhere to the draft and the lines now, because it seemed like with Vince around, they just didn't care. And, you know, they'd make their draft and then guys are on whatever brand that's convenient within the next couple of weeks. So, I mean, if they're going to have a draft to stick to it, great. If they're not going to stick to it, then there's no need to have it in the first place.
Yeah, I think they didn't care because Vince didn't care. So we'll have to see. I do think this is going to include NXT more, meaning that other people will get drafted to NXT, because they had Ava on Raw with Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce, and they're all like having their little meeting about how the draft's going to go. So I'm kind of intrigued by this draft for a change.
And you have to think that with Papa H-Man, I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, because he looks like he's trying to do what's best in, you know, and with the move to Netflix upcoming, it's like, I don't know if we're going to get the, well, this network wants this person and this network wants this person, so that's what we're going to do in the draft. I think he's really going to set it up the way he wants it, like you said, Josh, and this could be a pretty good thing.
Yes. And if we can get some realism to the actual presentation, that would be immensely improved. Then we had the Damian Priest Championship celebration that was interrupted by R-Truth, because he thought he brought the Raw Tag Team titles back to the Judgment Day, even though he's not in Judgment Day, which they repeatedly told him. I did not find this funny as Truth usually brings me joy and laughter. I felt this segment went downhill after Truth came out, actually. It just dragged on a little too long, and I was really interested into what Judgment Day had to say, because Rhea had said that they had some problems that they needed to address, but because R-Truth came out, that got put off to the side. Although they did address part of it in a backstage segment. So that led us to the awesome Truth and a mystery partner, who Truth said he's a guy that you can't see. Gee, I wonder who that is. Versus Judgment Day. You know, the Judgment Day that's not Damian Priest. So it ended up being John Cena, of course, and this will be his final appearance, because he said on the Pat McAfee show over the weekend that his schedule is pretty booked until Christmas, and then he's hoping that the Hollywood gods will shine down upon him some free time for early 2025 for his quote-unquote final run. Then we had another surprise of Indy Hartwell taking on the NXT Women's Champion, Roxanne Perez, who defeated Indy Hartwell, much to the chagrin of Candice LeRae.
Yeah, we're kind of still slow burning on that Candice heel turn, right?
Yep. Well, she's fully turned heel. It's the relationship that she's going to have with Indy moving forward is the real question. Mm-hmm. Then we had a Sheamus vignette, which we haven't seen him since he lost to Edge way back when.
You know, what I think was Edge's last WWE match, I want to say.
Yeah, correct. But I thought it was a contract thing, but it turns out he was injured. So he was just healing his injuries.
Well, that was going to be my next question, so thank you for that.
Yep. I do what I can. Then we had Sami Zayn and Chad Gable defeat Imperium. And then backstage, Chad Gable kind of was given what he wanted, which was a title opportunity. So that will be next week in Montreal. Sami Zayn defending against Chad Gable, which I'm here for.
Yeah, and I think if I were a betting man, that just gets spoiled by who was it that won the Andre Battle Royal?
Bronson Reed,
yeah. That's my hunch, but we'll see.
I don't think there's any way Sammy's losing in his hometown this time, having just won the title. So it should be a pretty big moment.
We'll have to see if the pop can outdo Elimination Chamber, but that's a tall task.
Yeah.
earlier there was a vignette backstage where Rhea was walking with Dom after the six-man tag, and Dom is blaming John Cena for the loss, and Rhea says, our problem isn't John Cena. Our problem is you put your faith in Andrade and he betrayed you. So are you going to do something about it or not? And Dom goes, I'm going to talk to Pierce. She's like, you better. And just as Dom walks away, in from stage left comes a flying chair that hits Rhea in the head. And it's the camera pans over and it's Liv Morgan on her revenge tour. And Liv proceeds to beat the ever-loving hell out of Rhea Ripley. And then, in probably one of the best camera transitions that I've seen since this new era, Dirty Dom comes back, checks on Mommy, puts his head up, and says, get out of here. And he pushes the camera, which then pans to the right and continues down the hallway, out to the arena, walks through the arena, or makes it look like it's walking through the arena, down through the timekeeper's table, around to the ringside, and up into the ring for the next match. I was like, that was seamless and amazing. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah, I love shots like that.
Chelsea Green was in the back complaining that she wasn't on WrestleMania, and this was the segment that where she interrupted the meeting of Ava and Nick and Adam. And so Adam says, you know, you're actually right. We got all your DMs, your emails, your texts, and everything, and we're going to give you the spotlight that you want. So if you go out to the ring right now, your spotlight awaits. And she's all excited because she's getting a spotlight.
And we all can see it coming.
Yeah, I was like, well, if this ain't Jade, I don't know what else is, you know. Or if it wasn't Jade, then perhaps a returning Alexa Bliss, but... it was Jade Cargill who basically kicked Chelsea and then jaded Chelsea, and that was that. Probably the best when she had Chelsea up in the jaded position. Chelsea's going, no, down. And then in the main event, in the number one contender's Fatal 4-Way, which was originally announced as an elimination match, but... as Seth pointed out in the pre-show, perhaps the first hour segment took way too long and they had to just make it a one fall, which they did. And the competitors were Drew McIntyre, Jey Uso, Ricochet, and Bronson Reed, where the winner would get a future title shot against Damian Priest. They did not say it would be at Backlash, so I don't know when this is going to happen. But Ricochet... had Bronson Reed laid out on the Spanish announce table. Go figure. Every time they announce these guys, I'm like, well, somebody's going through that table. And Ricochet, in probably a great homage, unintentionally, to the Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, I'm sorry, I love you. Right before Ricochet jumps up on the top turnbuckle, he looks over at Samantha and goes, sorry. And he does a 450 into the table and crashes rib cage first into a flat piece that does not break. And if that guy does not have broken ribs, I don't know what to tell you. But it looked like he ate that side piece hard. So Bronson and Ricochet were taken out, leaving Drew and Jay in the ring. Drew goes to hit the Claymore. 3, 2, 1. Oh, somebody grabbed his ankle. Well, who's left in the... Oh, it's CM Punk out of nowhere. Jey Uso capitalizes, hits him with a spear, and the Uso splash. 1, 2, 3. Jey Uso is your number one contender and will take on Damian Priest at a future date. And CM Punk screws Drew McIntyre for the second time in 48 hours. And I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, I think we kind of saw it coming again, but it's one of those things like I was saying before about when the crowd thinks it's entertaining, we'll go along with it. You know, I think there were a lot of people probably expected Punk to get involved. So, yep, but all, it all makes sense. I don't know if we'll actually have a Cody versus Jay match because WWE's never been good on babyface versus babyface main events, but
it's,
you know,
Damian,
we'll see.
Priest's belt.
That, oh,
was what the match was for.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause technically Cody's on, should be on SmackDown now, right? At least for the next week.
He posted his schedule. He's going to be on Raw, SmackDown, Raw, SmackDown, Raw, SmackDown, all the way to the draft. So,
yeah. Okay. Well, that does make sense then.
All I can think of right now is after WrestleMania and last night that Drew McIntyre is going to beat the ever-loving shit out of CM Punk.
I should mention he was brace-free also.
Yeah.
So he may get cleared sooner than we actually thought, or he's just at a point where he doesn't need the brace and he's still rehabbing. Who knows?
He'll just keep wearing it like the Ordens did with the cast.
All right. Well, that was Monday Night Raw. Next week, as I mentioned, we'll be in Montreal, Canada. So that should be a good show.
Did I mention, Josh, that they're in Montreal and then there's a show in Toronto and then they skip conveniently right over top of Manitoba and Winnipeg and go off to Edmonton and Calgary and Vancouver?
You should write them a nasty letter. You sons of my guns.
No kidding.
All right. Well, did anybody watch NXT tonight?
No.
All right. I will give you the overview, and then if anybody has any comments, you can chime in. And I'm not going to hit every single segment, just the highlights. It opened with a Roxanne Perez promo. I didn't like her heel turn initially, but it's slowly growing on me. She's growing into the role. She's great with her facial expressions and her body language. Her promos are getting a little bit stronger each time. So I'm kind of here for her heel run. So I like it. She was interrupted. She basically was saying that, you know, get used to me as NXT Women's Champion while you can, because I'm going to get drafted to Raw, SmackDown, and then I'm out of here. Basically that type of a heel promo. She was interrupted by Lyra Valkyria, who is in a sling. Lyra says, you know what? You just won the title and you're already packing your bags. So stay on Raw, go to SmackDown, but that title is staying here. I want my rematch tonight. And Roxanne's like, you're not even medically cleared. You sure you want to waste your rematch tonight? And then Tatum Paxley shows up out of nowhere and says, she may not be ready, but I am. And then she goes over to Lyra, starts twirling Lyra's hair in her finger while Lyra's trying to apologize for yelling at her on Saturday. And she goes, I appreciate you standing up for me, but I'm good now. I'm good. And Tatum just goes, but are you really? And then turns on her and slams her arm first into the steel steps. Referees have to pull her off Lyra, and they take Lyra off to medical. Meanwhile, Roxanne's cackling in the ring. She goes, well, I guess you're not going to get a title match tonight. Sorry, not sorry. And then she's interrupted by Natalia, who says the good people here at NXT were looking forward to a title match, and I think you should give them one. So she challenges her for a title match. Roxanne says, nope, this is my NXT, my title, my show, and you don't get a title match tonight. But thanks for coming. And then Ava comes out and basically says, yeah, that's not how things work around here. You're defending the title against Natalia. So that match is set up for tonight. Javon Evans has his debut against Scripps. Evans is a 19-year-old phenom who has an impressive debut tonight. He was on Level Up for a few weeks, and then they moved him to NXT TV. So Javon Evans, keep that name in mind. You might have to check out some of his matches. Good stuff from what I saw. In that NXT Women's Championship match, Roxanne Perez defeats Natalia when Lola Vice comes out and kicks Natalia on the outside. Roxanne hits Pop Rocks and gets the win. Lola is then essentially bragging backstage of what she did, and then Natalya proceeds to beat the living shit out of her. And we're getting Natalya versus Lola Vice next week. So we have an Obafemi promo where he's giving props to Dijak and Josh Briggs, and basically says that, you know, he's going to be the North American champion for as long as he wants to be. And then he's interrupted by Ivar of the Viking Raiders, who comes out not dressed in this Viking garb at all. He's in jeans, actually. And he cuts his own promo and basically challenges Obafemi for the North American title. And then just as Oba hits him with a headbutt, kind of a Glasgow kiss, Ivar gets the better of him and actually puts down Obafemi, which not many people have been able to do. And Ivar lifts the North American title high into the air. So if you're into big meaty men slapping man meat, we're going to get Ivar versus Obafemi. Christ.
And hopefully we will get that chant as well, because it'll be a long time before I get tired of any variants of the meat chant.
They were actually chanting it during this promo. We had a rematch from Stand and Deliver, where the Wolf Dogs defended the tag team titles against Nathan Frazier and Axiom once again. And this time we have new tag team champions, which begs the question of why didn't we just do this at the pay-per-view on Saturday?
Pop a rating, maybe.
And
I'm only half serious when I say that.
Yeah. And this frees up Bron Breakker to go to the full-time main roster, which just before we came on the show, I did see that he did cut a farewell to NXT promo after the camera stopped rolling. So we are getting Bron Breakker to SmackDown on a full-time basis.
I can't help but think what things would be like if Vince was still an announcer, because I can, whenever I hear the name, I can only hear it in my head of Vince saying it, Bron Breakker.
After we had new champs, they got jumped immediately by the final testament of AOP basically beating them down and then holding the NXT tag titles in the air. And they were accompanied by Scarlett and Karrion Kross and Paul Ellering. So a lot of main roster talent on NXT tonight.
And we got the final testament, and then the main roster. We got the Judgment Day. I mean, so what happens if they meet in the main roster? Is it the apocalypse? Is it the second coming of Christ?
That was supposed to be the eclipse on Monday, and that didn't happen. So
yeah.
The show closed out with a Trick Williams promo where he calls out Ilya Dragunov. And he says basically that he wants another shot at the title. And Ilya says no. And Trick's like, what do you mean? No, what do I got to, who do I got to beat? What do I got to do? That title is very important to me. I will beat whomever I need to beat. I will do whatever I need to do. And after thinking about it, Ilya says, you know what? You got your match in 2 weeks at their spring break-in quasi in your house type pay-per-view, but it's on television. And Trick is happy about it, but then Ilya says, but if you do not beat me, you have to leave NXT. And Trick says, you know what? If I can't beat you, I don't deserve to be in NXT. So they agree to the match. Ilya goes to turn to leave, and Trick is jumped by Carmelo Hayes, who essentially knocks Trick into Ilya, so they're both down. And after beating up Trick for a little bit, Carmelo says off mic, but it's picked up by the camera, and says, you're not making it to spring breakin', because next week I'm whipping your ass inside a steel cage. So next week it's Carmelo versus Trick in a cage. And in 2 weeks, Trick versus Ilya for the NXT championship. And if Trick loses, he has to leave NXT. And that was NXT TV highlights for the night.
That sounds like if Ilya showed up on Raw, then maybe he's call up bound and Trick takes over as champion.
Yeah, and it could go either way because, I mean, if Trick loses, then he could just show up on the main brand and, you know, they could just showcase Ilya for a little bit on the main roster as the NXT champion. I mean, that's just, I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying they have to do that, but yeah, conventional logic would seem to dictate that, yeah, Trick's going to get the title and Ilya will be on the main roster.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I do think it could go either way, and I'm not even sure that Ilya and Roxanne were call-ups. I think they just showcased the champions to build up that anybody can be drafted anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think there's going to be any official call-ups because why do that when they could just get drafted somewhere else? So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out leading up to the draft. So will we get more NXT people on SmackDown? That will be something to keep an eye out for. Oh, one final item that did make official today. They said Julia from Stardom has signed with WWE. So she could show up in NXT at any point. And she was also referenced in the cold open of NXT tonight.
Yeah. And I've only seen a few of her matches. I haven't watched Stardom, but she has shown up on some of the indies. And I think possibly, I don't think New Japan, because wait, no, I can't remember if New Japan owns Stardom or not, but I've seen her a couple times, and yeah, there's going to definitely be a high quality of matches that come with her.
Well, I've not seen her, but I've heard nothing but props from you guys. So I'm in. Let's see what's going on.
All right. Any final thoughts?
Oh, well, it's been a hell of a weekend, a hell of a run for wrestling. And I know we basically have wrestling every night of the week now, except for the nights when we don't have pay-per-views on Sundays. But boy, I'm glad it's over because now I think most of us can actually get a decent night's sleep. And then, of course, for WWE, it all starts all over again. 51 more weeks of build for the next WrestleMania. But such is the life of the wrestling fan. I say it a lot, I know, but it is a great time to be a wrestling fan right now.
Yeah, what's it like to have a normal day? How much wrestling did we watch over the weekend? I know before WrestleMania, I caught up on a pile of NXT to watch Stand and Deliver, watch Stand and Deliver, watch the kickoff and WrestleMania both nights, watch Raw, which I rarely do live. Like,
that's I can't remember the last time I watched Raw live.
That's high double digits. I haven't done the math yet, but that's pretty wild for me. So when they've got me in the hook like this, it's like, okay, they're doing something right. So now we get to look forward to the draft and be really interested to see how they set up the rosters going forward. And I'm all in for this new version of storytelling and if we're getting those attention to the details and things like that. So bring it on, Papa H. Just go ahead and take my goddamn money.
Yeah, I'm a dad, so I don't get any good sleep because I always need my me time late at night. And I'd say my average bedtime is 1 a.m. So, yeah.
I hear the similar complaints from my brother with his kids. So,
because after everybody goes to bed, I'm like, ah, cool, me time. Ah, damn, it's 10 o'clock. Well, screw that. I'm getting my me time, damn it. All right. Well, next episode should be really interesting because this is the Dynamite where they're showing the backstage footage from All In because Tony is super pissed at CM Punk and they're going to embarrass him with this footage.
And like I said, I'm probably the biggest AEW fan among us and my eyebrow is raising because it's like, why? It's when you do stuff like this, there's no way it makes you look good.
There's no payoff. He's not even in your company anymore.
Exactly.
A lot of people are afraid this is just the Bucks' way to introduce Jack Perry back to TV, and they might put him in the Elite, and I'm like, oh, God.
Well, if
they do anything that's close to a bait and switch, they will get skewered online.
Agreed. And deservedly so.
Yes. But we will cover that on Thursday. So until then, once again, thank you for listening, downloading, and subscribing. And we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter /X at twbpshow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at The Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter /X at The Bacon Rev. You can follow Seth at Lord Xandrax. And you can follow Josh at Southpaw Josh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from The Wrestling Brethren.